Hello and welcome to the Fit and Feminist podcast with fitness and nutrition coaches Lauren and Lindsay.
Our aim is to educate and empower women to take control and rebuild confidence with their health, fitness and lives.
We have the fitness facts and no-nonsense nutrition tips you need for success with a hefty dose of feminism thrown in.
With top bands and massive oversharing along the way, we hope you finish each episode feeling a step closer to the life and results you deserve.
If you'd like more of us or have a question you'd like answering on the podcast, you can message us at Lauren Randall Fitness and at Lindsay Wells PT and Nutrition.
All right, let's get started.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno, mi amor.
So it was Spanish last week.
That was kind of a mix just then of Italian and Spanish.
I feel like that was very Italian.
Buongiorno is Italian, but then I said mi amor, which is Spanish. Maybe it's Italian too.
Oh. I don't know what it is in Italian. Me and oh,
my love.
I would have just gone. That you'd.
Well, when this podcast reaches Spain and Italy, we need to make sure that we're getting it right.
Any people who speak really good Spanish or Italian, you can tell us. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We're like, right, this is what happens now. We're getting so cocky with our recording. We just press go and we're like, oh, we haven't really thought this one through.
Yeah. Well, it's just who's introducing.
Okay.
So shall I do it then?
Go for it, Liz. What are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about the pre-Christmas situation, which I'm sure some of you will have seen. 8-week shreds, 6-week countdown to Christmas, getting your little black dress, body, blah 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 things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all well and good if that, like, gives you a nice focus and it's, you know, set realistically. But what we're talking about is all or nothing mindset and this sort of narrative as we head in towards Christmas.
Yeah, it's just every year the same things come around. And every year people say the same things and every year people do the same things. And it's like, if you want that cycle to break, how can we break that cycle? And it's usually this all or nothing mentality that comes around every single Christmas. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So how to move away from all or nothing mentality so that you can actually smash your Christmas, smash your crimbo and feel fucking great.
So I did a post on this the other day, and I know it's again, Lauren and I started doing the podcast in the first place because we were having the same sort of conversations each week with our clients for PT or for nutrition. So we were like, do you know what? Let's discuss these things and help a brother out. So, yeah, my post this, I think it was last week actually, was, are you a number one or a number two? So it was like, number one is the kind of person who goes, I've not done anything since summer. I didn't get myself organized in October or November, and now I think it's something like 52 days to Christmas, is it?
I
only because when I walked in Asda the other day, they had like a countdown thing on and it was 54 days to Christmas, and I was all like, right. Oh wow, okay. So, you know, then you're thinking, it's only another 4 weeks or however long it is, so I'm just not gonna, you know, I'll just carry on as I am until January now. And so you just continue. And then obviously most people will overindulge over Christmas just without even trying, really, because there's just an abundance of food and alcohol and celebrations, literal celebrations. Literally. And celebrations. And so by January, you feel like absolute crap because you're not in a place physically that you want to be in. You've probably eaten food that, like, makes you feel pretty rubbish and is not good for your digestion and doesn't help with your sleep patterns, including alcohol. And so you feel like you've gone, like, 17 steps backwards. Then your number two person is the person who hasn't also sort of been maintaining a nice constant pattern of behaviour through summer and that transition through autumn, which we've talked about, like, how much of a struggle that is. And then comes into this time of year going, shit, I've only got 8 weeks till my Christmas parties, or for most people, actually, starting beginning of December, don't they? Like, work Christmas dues and stuff. Going, right, I've got 4 weeks to get into that dress I bought. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it sets in that panic mindset of, like, right, now I've got to really make it crack and putting yourself in a really big deficit And what is the problem with that, Lauren?
Yeah. I didn't think you were going to throw a question at me. I was so lost in thought, though. I was going to say was, when you were saying then about people doing that rush, 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 I was thinking, what people get wrong every single year is this time of year, they're in the rush and the panic for Christmas. And then April, May, they're in the rush and the panic for the summer bod. And it's like, if you want to look and feel your absolute best for summer, now is the time to be putting that work in for then. And summer is the time you'd be working. Like, everybody's working off 4 to 8 week blocks every single year, working off 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, and panicking and trying to do everything really, really quick, when actually you want to be thinking like 6, 8, 12 months. Think longer term periods. Like, that's what you want to be reaching for. That's where it's sustainable. That's where you see actual really good change. I mean, you can see drastic changes in a few weeks, whether you maintain them or not
is another matter.
But this last minute panic ahead of Christmas parties, which is crazy to me. When you're saying like the panic before the Christmas parties, I'm thinking, why would people panic about that? But it's because they want to get into dresses and things. Yeah. Well, not me. This is the thing. I get to wear baggy shirts and baggy jeans. Yeah. I'm chilling.
I mean, you can always wear like a balloon dress.
Yeah. But
I mean, that's this sort of general narrative that I've seen like on social media as well. It's like little black dress challenge, etc. In fact, years back, I actually had a class that was called like the little black dress workout. Right, and it was basically.
Can you imagine
like
me having a little black dress in a little workout? Black dress.
I would love to see you in a little black dress.
How about the baggy joggers workout?
Let's do it. Yeah, baggy joggers workout.
That's more my bag. Anyway, right, let's give them some answers.
Right. Let's give them some answers.
So, how to move away from all or nothing mentality. I've got 6 points here, which me and Linz will just back and forth it. But your first thing, and the biggest thing, is accept imperfection. If you can go into the festive period or any time accepting that things may not go to plan, things may not be perfect, things may go wrong, you are far more likely to actually stick to your plan and see results. Because if you try and do the perfect workout, you're trying to do the perfect training plan, you're trying not to eat any chocolate and no alcohol and nothing's ever off plan, you're trying to be perfect, you're setting yourself up for failure because it's unrealistic. That's just not, there is no perfect, you're not ever going to be perfect. And even if you hit perfect, quote unquote, for a day or two, it's not going to last. So being able to accept that things aren't always going to be spot on, and just doing the work is better than doing nothing. Like, a walk is better than doing nothing. A crap gym session is still better than no gym session. Eating some chocolate is better than going, oh, well, I've totally ballsed up and now I'm just going to completely eat all of the chocolate and it's all just going to go to shit because I ate a little bit of chocolate. It's like, accept imperfection and you will actually get much further in your journey.
Yeah, I think also, like as you said, if you're thinking about it over like a much longer term, then I think when you put so much time pressure on yourself to get, you know, to a certain, say you go, well, I want to lose half a stone before the beginning of December, right, the first week in December, I'm just picking an arbitrary date that somebody might have a Christmas do, and then you've set yourself these really tight time constraints. And then as soon as you do one thing that is not absolutely bang on the plan, whatever plan you're on, then you go, oh, right, balls it. Like, if you are thinking longer term, it just gives you so much more flexibility and it gives you so much more time. And then you've got that little bit of, like, leeway for yourself that you're not going, right, panic again because I've only got 4 weeks and I've already made a mistake, I've already cocked up. It's like, well, actually they're not really any mistakes or cock ups, like you either making decisions that are moving you towards your goal or away from them. And as Lauren said, like trying to think about, you, we, none of us are perfect, things go wrong, things, you know, we have meals that are not planned, or you know, your friend turns up with a takeaway or a piece of cake to cheer you up, or you know, you go to the gym and your workout session's cancelled, or you know, you go in and you're just not feeling it and we get ill. Like a lot of people I know at the minute have been so poorly with either a stomach bug or cold, and it's like, you know, actually now responding to that better rather than thinking, well, I've had a week off so I'm just not going to go back to training, like coming back to training and going, well, I'm not going to do, you know, as well as I was doing 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to just start again.
It's like, literally exactly where I am now. Took 2 weeks, 2 whole weeks off training. But in my head, I'm like, well, my goal is to build as much muscle as I can in my 30s. So I've got a 10-year goal. So two weeks to me is like Nothing. 2 weeks, I was poorly. I needed to rest. I'm not going to smash it out. But if my goal is an 8-week shred, 2 weeks, that's like a quarter of my time, like gone. Like, yeah, that's going to panic me and I'm going to feel guilty and I'm going to be like, holy shit, I've just wasted 2 weeks and Extend your goal, extend the time frame and give yourself that little bit of a break. What's that word? A little bit of a buffer.
Yeah, like some parameters.
Yeah.
I think, what was I going to say now? Yeah, with that longer time goal also, if you're thinking, well, I'm moving towards my summer holiday now, right? I'm looking towards my summer holiday next year now. You're still going to feel better at Christmas than you do now if you're taking action. So even if you only feel a bit better or you might have lost, 4 or 5 pounds, like depending on how much you've got to lose, right? If we're talking fat loss again, or if you want to feel, I don't know, more, and again, we're doing these inverted comma fingers and you can't see us, you want to feel more toned, or you just want to feel a bit more confident, you want to feel good in your skin, right? So you're up in your gym sessions and it's not about body weight as such. That you're still going to be closer and in a better position psychologically as well, because you feel nicer in yourself and you also feel more positive because you've taken action, rather than, again, it gets to December and you're like, well, I didn't do anything because I'm still, I can't think that far into the future, and then you've sort of peed off with yourself as well because you've not done out.
So
it's twofold, isn't it?
Imperfect action, guys. Imperfect action.
Yes.
The second point kind of relates to what we had just said about setting realistic goals and being realistic with yourself and then breaking them down. So it's kind of what we've just touched upon. Like, my goal is, 1 year. Great. Then break that down. What can you do over the next 6 months? Break that down again. What's your 3-month plan? Break that down again to monthly. What can you do? Break it down to each week. What do you need to do? Daily, what can you do every single day that takes you steps, and just break your goals down step by step so that they feel more manageable and achievable. If you are looking to lose a lot of weight and you've got 3 stone to lose, for example, that can feel like a mountain to climb. That can feel overwhelming. So it's like, break that down into your first pound and then work backwards from there. If you think about 3 stone and how much you've got to lose, and you're really unfit, and you don't walk, and you don't eat fruit, and you don't eat veg, and you don't and just bombard yourself with a million different problems and things that you need to do, break it down. So have your 1 year plan or big overarching goal of 3 stone or whatever it is, then break it down into 6 months, 3 months, 1 month, weekly, daily, and then tick off your daily habits, essentially, which could be sleep, walk, drink water.
Yeah.
That's it. And that and could build be, it up. Build yeah. it up.
We've talked about this before, the habit stacking. And I think sometimes, like, you think, oh, what's one day? Like, it's a drop in the ocean sort of thing. But that is actually, like, it is the one day at a time is going to be, like, if you are a short-term mentality person, then bringing it in even tighter, then that's going to work for you. I think sometimes having, like, you've got to zoom out and zoom in, haven't you? Like, expand and contract, right? So if you, like, did you do the British weightlifting course?
No.
just something you've said has just made me think, and I think it's your strength training goals, right?
Yeah.
So when you, like, program for, like, Olympic lifting or any form of strength training, like, you might have, like, a year out, yeah? So it's like you're a year out from a competition, right? And then you've got, like, well, I want to hit a 60 kilo snatch, right? So then it's like, well, where are you now? Right, well, I'm at 45 kilos. So what is that achievable within that time frame for a start, right? And then it's like working backwards, as Lauren said, back to the goal to make an action plan that you can start immediately that day. So there's always, it's always a good idea to have a big picture goal, but then you do need to take that down into bite-sized pieces.
Mm.
It's like having a massive pizza and trying to eat it all in one go.
I'd give it a go.
Well, yeah, I'd give it a go, but
roll it up.
But it's like much easier if you have a slice at a time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, has that covered that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, just give yourself, like, leeway as well on those, as Lauren said, like, setting realistic goals, like going, well, what's the most I could achieve? What's the least I could achieve in this week? And then if you're landing somewhere in the middle, that's great. And anything above that, awesome.
Yeah. The next one is about celebrating all your wins, no matter how small. This one is so important. And again, it kind of loops back around to being imperfect and celebrating all the small things. So like only eating one or two cookies out of the tin instead of taking the tin with you and eating all of them. That's a huge win. Celebrate that. Getting an extra 1,000 steps in than your usual step count. Amazing. It counts. You journaled this week and you have never done that before. Amazing. Celebrate it. Like, all these small little things have a massive compound effect. And if you don't celebrate those small little things, then they don't add up into the big thing to celebrate at the end. Like, people are so focused on that 3 stone. The postman's here. he's eyeballed me. I don't know what to do.
Mr. Postman.
Is he going to knock? Yeah. Oh, he's knocked.
There you go.
See you in a second.
He's knocked.
Right. You know what it is?
What is it?
Those new tonic drinks that James Smith and Chris Williamson have just
brought
out.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Look at you buying into it.
I have. I've fully jumped on the bandwagon to try it.
Oh, nice.
It's past my 2 p.m. cut-off time.
Has it got caffeine in it?
Yeah.
Right.
150 milligrams or something of caffeine. Anyway, we shall review. Next week, let's have one and we'll review.
Right, fine.
I've got the orange flavour. Anyway,
lovely.
Cannot remember what I was saying.
Celebrating wins.
Because, yeah, losing 3 stone is amazing, but that's a long-term thing. You've got to celebrate all the little bits that got you to that weight loss. And if you can celebrate the little things that you do each day, it just builds this compassionate, nice, kind self-image. Like, you could just feel, like, the better you feel about yourself and the small things that you do, the more small things you're going to do, and the more small things you're going to do, the easier you're going to get to your bigger goals.
Yeah, exactly. I did it. I think you posted about this as well, and I had emailed my nutrition clients about this on their check-in, so I always have like a subject or a informative email. This week it was like self-compassion and like you got to believe that you can, that you are worthy of having the things that you want before you can actually start to build on those things. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, it was a conversation I had with a client about food and the guilt around eating a candy bar. This was at Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I said, I get the feeling with you that you feel like it's a shameful thing for you to enjoy the chocolate bar. And she was like, yeah, that's how I feel. Like, almost like she didn't deserve to enjoy chocolate. And so she felt she had to kind of hide away and have it and then really like she was repenting. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, we need to think about, like, and you don't have to have the answer for me, but have a thought for yourself as to where that thought comes from that you aren't allowed or you're not, you don't deserve to enjoy a food that you really like. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's one of the things, like, I think a lot of people need to work on is, like, going, you deserve to enjoy any food. Mm-hmm. Like, and we can also give ourselves, like, pats on the back. Like, all of these things where you celebrating yourself and you're sort of kicking the self-doubt in the ass and going, no, I can do this. I am the kind of person who succeeds. I am the kind of person who can resist some temptations. I am the kind of person who can eat 2 biscuits and not the whole jar. Mm-hmm. Like, the more that you like reinforce those beliefs about yourself, and it does take so much practice. If you've been, we've said this before, haven't we? If you've been telling yourself you're a knob all of your life, if you've been telling yourself I'm an all or nothing person all of your life, you need to firstly neutralize that. So going, I recognize that I have quite extreme patterns of behavior, but I'm working on this and I believe I'm capable of change. So it's that change in your language that then change those thought processes that then enables you to have more positive experience towards your goal rather than berating yourself every time something goes tits up.
Yeah, and then going, we'll see, I told you so. I told you I'm just like that. That's just how I am. That's exactly that. My email was, like, always the same thing. So mine was basically saying, I think everything that we say is basically, the more you think something, the more it becomes a belief. And then what you believe, you act, that's how you act. So your actions are dictated by what you believe. And so if you think over and over that you're this type of person, that type of person, and you can't do this and you can't do that, then you're going to act in a way that makes that true. So you can then, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
anyway, we've kind of gone on tangent off celebrating your wins.
Well, but... we have, but it is true, isn't it? It's that self-compassion thing, I think, is the whole thing of, like, people sometimes think they've got to have, like, run a marathon to be able to be proud of themselves. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like I've got to do something really major to even think I'm all right. Mm-hmm. I have it all, like, you know, you probably get this as well with your check-ins where somebody will go, oh, well, I've done this, but I haven't done that. Or, I hit my steps, but I had some chips. It's like, you hit your steps. Focus on that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, focus on all the good things that you're doing. And, like, I don't know. I think there's this, as well as this whole narrative of, like, we should all be wanting to, like, work towards looking like supermodels at Christmas in our party dresses.
And baggy joggers.
and our baggy joggers. There's this other narrative that, like, we should be overachieving and we should be excelling at everything, and it's just not realistic. I'll let you know now, right? I've been driving around with no tax on my car because I bloody forgot to tax it, and then got a letter going, you haven't taxed your car. And
I got the same letter.
I was like, what the hell?
Oh, I did the same
thing. Then I went to the vet, and the vet was like, your dogs haven't been had their vaccines since 2020. And I was like, last week, I was just like, am I, like, terrible? Like, what, like, because we can't do everything. And I had to have a word with myself and go, Lindsay, you've got a lot of things that you're juggling at the minute. Like, there's a lot of thoughts going on. You know, you're trying to keep a hold on your kids, on your, mm-hmm. you know, walking your dogs even day to day. You know,
keeping it all alive.
trying to do your gym sessions, like, doing your best for your clients. Like, cut yourself a bit of slack. Nobody's died. It's fine. Yeah,
and that approach is what's going to get you better results. If you turn around and were like, I'm just a shit dog mum and a shit parent and I'm a shit driver and I'm a hazard to the people and I'm just crap, then those beliefs are just going to then further your actions of poor choices and poor, like, outcomes.
Yeah.
Like, nothing comes from being a dick to ourselves.
No. Or wallowing. Take action. Yeah. Take action.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one, how to move away from the all-or-nothing mentality. Oh, we've kind of covered this, being flexible and being adaptable.
Yeah.
So when things arise that you didn't plan for, being flexible and adapting to that situation. So instead of panicking, taking a breath, taking a pause, going, right, this wasn't in the plan, but how do I want to best respond in the moment? And then how do you want to feel after it? And if it all goes completely fucking tits up, show yourself some compassion on the other end of it. That's mm-hmm. actually a separate point. But it's kind of like this whole podcast has seemed to turn into this whole acceptance, be imperfect, be compassionate, and cut yourself some slack.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, nothing good comes from beating yourself up about these things. Like, I did in my story yesterday about how compassion is not letting yourself off the hook and laziness all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think people struggle to find the balance between how can they show themselves compassion and still reach their goals and not just let themselves off the hook. And it's like, okay, well, what's your goal? What are your values? What are you trying to achieve here? Are these things in line with that? If no, then go, okay, well, it's okay that I've done it, but maybe I won't do that again next week because that's not in line. That's compassionate. Like, compassion is not, I've overeaten and I feel like shit about it, but I'm allowed to overeat because I'm a compassionate person now, so I'm just going to skip all my gym sessions because I can't be fucking asked, and I'm just going to eat loads of chocolate and donuts all week. That's not compassion, because that's not in line with your goals and what you want. Compassion is making sure you're staying in line with your goals and your values because you're looking after yourself and putting your best interests first.
Yeah, agreed. Lauren were just talking before we came on as well, and I think a really good example of this sort of being flexible and adaptable is that you also remember that, like, one meal is not the maketh or breaketh of your
maketh and breaketh
of your diet, your week, your plans, your gym goals, your muscle gains, your marathon training. Like, one thing that's out of line with that isn't going to change it. It's your habits and behaviours over an extended period of time. So one of my clients this weekend had, like, quite a big day on the Saturday. involving afternoon tea and pastry and scones. I'm sure she won't mind me saying, I'm not going to name her. But she had kind of gone in with really good intentions and then ended up, you know, kind of really having a really nice time and had a few more drinks than she was going to have. And then we came over to Sunday. We had a little check-in. We sort of set some parameters and expectations to go, right, okay, so yesterday you had a bit more, like, carbohydrates than you planned to have, right? Again, nobody's died. You haven't kicked anybody. It's all fine. What can we do today to try and get that protein and fibre in and rebalance things a little bit? And then, you know, over the next 3-4 days, coming back to eating, like, in your normal way, like, nourishing your body, getting those nutrients in, getting out for a walk, making sure you're hydrated, getting your sleep back in order. Like, that's what matters. It's not the one thing. It's, like, give yourself the flexibility to go, all right, that's fine. Like, I'm just going to adapt tomorrow's day to what it was going to be. And I know that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I can be really, like, on it with my goals.
Do you remember a meal you had last year that you feel guilty about eating?
No.
Do you remember any meal you've had that you feel guilty about eating?
No.
No, you don't remember. We have had meals we felt guilty about after. We both have been pretty open honest. You don't fucking remember them.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, right, that one meal that then causes you so much grief and shame and guilt, you aren't going to remember that in a couple of weeks' time. Don't let it ruin your day and your weekend and your memories and your...
Of that day.
And your time. And that occasion, exactly. Like, spending all day Sunday, every single weekend, feeling like shit because of something you ate on a Saturday, which you'll then forget in a few weeks' time anyway, it's kind of pointless. I know it's easier said than done to be like, oh, just don't feel bad about it. But there are tools that we have talked about and we can put in place with you to help you not have that food guilt. But at the end of the day, like, you're not going to remember that meal and feeling shit about it.
Yeah.
So take a moment and put things into perspective and be like, okay, it was one bad Saturday or one day of overeating. What do I want to do today? And move forwards with some kindness there.
Yeah. And I think also that what people don't do well is put it into the context of the week. So that's where, like, or even the month, like, if this happens, I will encourage people to go, right, have a look back over the photos you've sent me of the meals you've sent me. Like, this is your average. Like, these are the things that you're having day to day, every single day, three meals a day. This is what your snacks look like. Do you think there's variety there? Is there colour there? Have you got plenty of whole food there? Is there protein there? Are you thinking about your meals? Yes. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that one burger or that you had an extra slice of pizza. Like, don't worry about it, because the majority of your actions, you're moving towards where you want to be and you're nourishing yourself and taking care of yourself and having respect for your body. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that grey area is where we're trying to get everybody, basically.
Yeah, the boring bit. The
boring grey area. Not all, not nothing. Just a nice boring grey patch.
But I also think I saw something the other day that was like, you know, you sort of get like that, you get used to that, like, stress response to things, and it's almost like you expect it and await that stress response to things, and then you get that little bit of a high off of, like, kicking yourself in the ass. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to not do that.
Yeah, it's comforting when things are habitual and it's a habit to eat something and feel like shit about it the next day. Even though it's fucked up and it's no positive benefit to our lives whatsoever, it's a habit. We're creatures of comfort and we recognise that. We can recognise we've eaten something, we feel guilty about it. Oh, I'm going to comfort eat a little bit more, and then we're just in this cycle because it's our comfort zone and we recognise it and we know that.
Yeah.
What we don't know is how it feels to show ourselves compassion and do something different.
I honestly feel like this food side is the easiest bit.
Oh, yeah.
It is the brain side. That if you can nail the brain side of things, then you're absolutely winning. If you can really have a word with yourself, and this is where journaling and filling in your check-ins, it is so, so valuable. Like, if you are getting a check-in from Lauren, or you're getting a check-in from me, or whoever your coach is, that process of writing down and being honest and putting your thoughts and feelings down, like, and we really, I'm sure I speak for Lauren here as well, when we get those really thorough check-ins, like, it is such an honour that you put your trust in us and that you, you know, you bare your soul, basically. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's it's a privilege as a coach, like, to be able to, for somebody to believe in you and to trust you enough to be open and honest. And if you can be open and honest with yourself and us, then you're going to get the biggest reward.
Yeah. I've said this so many times to my clients, do the check-ins. Like, it is so clear which clients are doing regular check-ins and the results, and, you know,
there's a direct correlation.
There is a direct correlation between it. It's so important to write it out. And like, when I open a check-in and it's all this writing, I'm like, here we go. Meeting.
Love it.
Love it. Even if they feel they've had a bad week and they're struggling, I'm like, but look what you've opened up to. You've opened this, and I can now help you with that. If there's words on the paper, I can help you with that. I can't help you with an empty check-in.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're kind of going on something else now. But
well,
yeah,
we are again, but it does all come back to it, doesn't it? Because I think it is that the honouring of yourself, and all of this stuff comes back really to self-compassion and how you view yourself in the world. Like, if you felt really good about yourself 100% of the time, or your actions, like, pretty much all of the year round were healthful and to the benefit of your health and fitness and future you, longevity, all of that, there wouldn't be the need for this conversation. And there is the need for this conversation because we see it all over social media, and you talk to your friends or you listen to a group of women talking. I don't know what, I've not ever heard a man say he needs to get in his new trousers for a Christmas party.
Yeah.
But it's that narrative of, like, that expectation, like, it's almost like we encourage each other to put that pressure on ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it is important to have this conversation. I one of my check-in questions was, what do you think your good qualities are? And a couple of people went, I don't really know how to answer this. I was like, this is precisely why we need to do this as a topic. Because you can't say something nice about yourself. And one of them said, like, oh, this feels really uncomfortable. I was like, to say something nice about yourself, to say what your good qualities are, that you're a good friend, or you're a good mum, or you're a good sister, or you're kind.
Mm.
Like, yeah. And I did, cringe was the word, and I put it in capital letters as well. I was like, I know what you're thinking, cringe.
Yeah, I've got clients that the word journaling, the word feelings, they're like, cringe. That was me. That was so me. When people would talk about, like, feelings and emotions and writing it out and journaling, I was like, ugh.
There needs, like, to be a better word than journaling, really, though, doesn't
just
there?
Just,
like,
writing.
Because it's not a diary. I just think it's like a brain dump. Yeah, yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what was I going to say? You were saying something in the... Yeah, my weekly challenge this week for the week group is to give yourself a different compliment every single day and compliment somebody else. It doesn't have to be a physical appearance compliment, ideally let's move away from that, but just a compliment, a different one every single day. So at the end of the week, you've given yourself 7 different compliments. So you have 7 different things that you like about yourself. And some of them are really going to, I think,
struggle,
find it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I don't care. You're doing it anyway.
I really like my big toe.
Do you?
Stunning.
I know someone else who likes your big toe. And that's for another podcast.
None of my family rate my feet. They don't make fun of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about feet, and I don't feel any which way towards feet. But I do know that 1 in 4 people have a foot fetish.
That's absolutely astounding to me, but here we are.
I don't know how they found that statistic. I didn't get asked.
Maybe they did a survey.
Yeah, well, maybe they're in an area of high foot fetish. But anyway.
Honestly. Have we got any more things?
Well, my last point about moving away from all or nothing was about not trying to rush and create a plan following it. But we kind of touched on that at the start about not trying to rush everything so much. Give yourself that little bit of time. Create a plan and follow the plan. The purpose of a plan is because when days or times come up where your weight might have jumped up or things have not gone as expected, knowing that you can follow a plan will get you to where you want to be. Follow the plan. If you ate a little bit more and then you massively restrict, you're then going to go on this binge yo-yoing cycle and around. Follow the plan. Just follow the plan. If you overeat, get back on it the next day. Follow the plan. Missed a workout, doesn't matter. Next day, follow the plan. Just stick to the plan. If you don't have a plan, make a plan. Don't know how to make a plan, Ask me, Lindsay.
Do you want to say plan again?
Plan, 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 plan. I think that's all I've talked about the last 2 weeks. Plan, plan, plan.
Yeah, I think that's, it is a real big key to success, isn't it? It's like having something that you like is your guide for every single day. And we know it's hard. We know it's hard. But this is why we have a lot of unhealthy people in the world, because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it takes effort, and you're bloody worth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. I'm like, another comment was, you know, when, and I think three people said this to me last week, when I'm on my own, you know, I just think, it's not worth it. I'm like, that's exactly when it's worth it, because you can have exactly the meal that you want to have that is perfectly aligned to your goals. Mm-hmm. You're not having to go, oh, well, I won't eat pasta and I won't eat cheese and I don't like vegetables, you know, with your kids or your family members. Like, it's not a fight of like, well, Dave will only eat potato and steak and the kids, I'm not going to bother trying to make up two names for the kids, like fish fingers, chips and beans. And I had a friend who used to make literally four different meals. And I was like, wonder you are exhausted by this. And that by the time it comes to you eating your meal, A, you've eaten your kids' leftovers, mm-hmm. times two,
mm.
and then you're eating your own tea and you're wondering why you've got a problem. But, you know, you're not even interested in your food by the time you get to it. We digress again. But yeah, I think it's so important that you go like, what do I want? And even if you have got other people in your household to think about, like, you can adapt your meals. That was another one of your points, wasn't it? Like, be adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, just because, like, tonight John's making risotto, right? I'm not really asked about risotto, sauce, John. But I'll have some, but I'm going to make sure I did some roast veg last night, some roast med veg, because I know I want to add that fibre in. So I'll make sure what I have is aligned with my goals, I get my fibre in tonight and I'll add that to it. And then if they don't want to have it, that's up to them. But I know I'm getting in what I need.
And planned ahead.
And I planned ahead. Yeah. Fantastic.
Right.
Anything else to add?
No, I don't think so.
You're happy with that?
Happy with that.
Do you want to pound your knees anymore? No?
Was that what I was doing?
Yeah.
Was that?
Plan, plan, plan.
I get very passionate about planning. It's important. It is literally everything. And my clients that get the best results realise that it all comes back down to planning ahead.
Yeah, being organised.
Being organised. Yeah. Anyway, hopefully you guys got something out of this about moving away from all or nothing mentality, because Christmas is that time where it's like, there's a lot of, fuck it. Sometimes it may be it's a day of, fuck it. But let's not make the day a week, or the week a month, or the month an entire season.
And I think, you know, again, if you are, like, be just being sensible now, it's like the repercussions on that next phase, isn't it? If as we sort of talked about this earlier, of like, if you go into like just hurtling in towards Christmas with this attitude of like, well, you know, I've not made any progress anyway, so I'm just going to keep going, or you really, really over restrict now until, say, the 20th of December, and then 20th of December comes and you give yourself permission to eat everything in sight, then you're going to feel pretty crappy come 2nd of January. So it's like, just have a bit of like moderation, like rational thought process around it. Go slow and steady, have a plan, like tick the boxes day to day for your health, not necessarily for any other reason. If you do feel like, well, I am doing this 8-week course with such and such, and it's, you know, it is what it is, like, you're going to do that in the run-up to Christmas, just try and give yourself a little bit of flexibility and think, like, then when you're looking into January, like, how do you want to feel when you get there, is what I would say.
Yeah.
All right.
Good talk.
Right, I'll let you get back to packing all of the contents of your home away.
I can't take credit for most of this. 90% of this was Becky.
I'm wondering, I'm starting to wonder what you bring to this relationship.
I'm a good time. I'm a good time. I give her a good time.
Don't worry, I do my job.
I do what I'm here to do.
Why do you think she's packing boxes?
Yeah, she's out here. I don't even know where we're moving, and I've just spilt water all over the bloody carpet. But it's okay.
Because it's not your carpet anymore.
It's not my carpet, so it doesn't matter. Bye, guys.